courage to seek and lead the lost to conversion. And let's go to Joshua again, 1 and verse 8 and 9. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And I think about that when it talks about being discouraged. And to seek and lead the lost to conversion, sometimes you're going to get discouraged if you're working at it. I think a lot of people have gotten discouraged or have given up on trying to seek and save the lost. There's not a lot of people in the Lord's church telling people about Christ today. It's getting fewer and fewer people that are willing to talk to others and really try to set up Bible studies or talk to them about coming to church or even to go with the preacher and do the Bible studies. There's less and less people that are willing to do that. And we might think, well, you know what? There's not a lot of people that want to listen. So since there's not a lot of people that want to listen, then we don't have a lot of people to talk to. But it takes more courage to talk to people when they don't want to listen than it does when everybody wants to listen. You know, we've got to get some courage to do what God says. And I like how it says there at the end of that too, that do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And in the Great Commission, Jesus told us that he'll be with us to the very end of the age. And so we can have courage to go and seek the lost and make disciples of all nations, knowing Christ is with us. And that way we're not sitting here thinking, boy, I've got to do it all on my own, and it's just not going to work. Nobody will ever listen, and I've tried with different people, and they don't respond. And so people can just decide, you know what, why try anymore? And when people start doing that, the church is not going to get bigger or stronger or lead more people to conversion with less people talking to less people. We have to talk to more people and keep on going regardless of the results. That's what it means to be courageous, is to do what God says regardless of what's going to happen. I mean, we could think, well, I'm really courageous because the first person I talked to, they became a Christian, they got converted. And so we might think, yeah, boy, this is nice. I don't know if that's happened to anybody here where the first person you talked to, you know, got converted. A time or two whenever I've been out calling, that's happened. The first person has decided to want to do a Bible study, but not too often even in that. And so why do we need courage to seek and save the lost? Well, one reason is because of the opposition. Just as Joshua needed courage facing the Israelites, and even though it was the children that he was facing, obviously they would have had struggles as well, like the parents. He needed courage to be a leader for God that would do what God said, regardless of what the people and how they responded. I believe Moses had a lot of courage in doing what he was doing in leading the people as well. He had a lot of opposition. We're going to face opposition in leading people to Christ. John chapter 7 and verse 6 and 8. John chapter 7 and verses 6 and 8. It says, therefore Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast, I am not yet going to the feast because for me the right time has not yet come. But notice it says the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. And so we've got to realize as Christ, as he testified to the crowds that what they were doing was evil, a lot of people didn't like that. Sometimes we think that when Christ came down here, everybody listened to him. Everybody followed him. He never had any opposition. It was just dandy. Just maybe a few people didn't listen to him. We might start to think that way, but we've got to remember, when Christ testified against the world that the deeds were evil, people hated him for it. They were in opposition to it. He had extreme opposition. And so we've got to remember that. And the early church as well, they had extreme opposition. It wasn't just always flocks of people. I mean, occasionally there was a lot of people following. But in John chapter 6, I think about when Jesus spoke about the sermon on the bread of life, how many people kept following Christ? There's only a few people that kept following him. And he even turned to his disciples and said, "Are you guys going to keep following me?" And that's when Peter said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We're going to keep following you because we believe that." You and I, we need to believe that too about Christ, that he has the words of life. We're going to keep following him, and we're going to keep going and telling people the message of salvation, regardless of the opposition. Now, you think about courageousness. It's easy to be courageous when everybody is for something. You think about being in a ball game. Have you ever been to a ball game where you're a part of the home team, and you see everybody start cheering? You know, it doesn't take much courage to stand up and say, "Go team!" And really get into it, really get fired up, and really be cheering, and really be, you know, bellowing out even, and getting really into it. Why is that? Because you're surrounded by everybody around you that likes that team as well. And it's something that you know you're going for. Even people, whenever they're in the midst of all the people that don't like that team, they still find courage to yell for the other team. Why? Because they're prepared for that. They know what they're going for, but they are willing to cheer. And yet you and I, we forget that we're not going to a ball game. We're not going to something where everybody's going to cheer for us. There's going to be a lot of people not cheering for us. There's going to be a lot of people discouraging us to quit telling them about Christ, to not do it. And people will think that it doesn't work to keep talking to people. But that's the only way it does work, is to talk to people. John chapter 15, in verse 18, Jesus reminds us about this, about people hating us. It says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." So Jesus is reminding us that, you know, the world's going to hate us. And if it hated him, they'll hate us. And if they obeyed his teaching, they'll obey what we're telling them. People will hear what Jesus says today in his words, and some people are going to have faith and will obey the gospel. There are still people out there, I believe, that will. But in the command that Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, he didn't say if everyone will respond or if a majority will. He didn't give us any little outs for ourselves. He just told us to do it, didn't he? That means we've got to do it regardless. We've got to go and make disciples regardless. And it's going to be harder as the world gets wickeder, I believe. It's going to be harder because you're bringing people out of paganism. You're bringing them with all their luggage, all their garbage, all the stuff they're caught up in. And the devil wants to wrap people up in sin so much that it's so hard for him to give it up. And so we have a big job to take them the gospel, but we can take the message that we have that can change people. It can change people from the world, and they can get out of it. But we're going to have opposition from the world. Do you believe the world wants Christians to be quiet today? Unless you're in their realm of what they allow you to speak for. They want Christians to be quiet. They don't want us convicting them. In a way, they want our lifestyle to not even convict them. That's why a lot of people today are conforming to the likeness of the world, because they don't want to be in opposition, even without saying anything. They don't want to oppose them by how they look different and act different and talk different. But remember what Paul said in Philippians. Philippians, as he told us that we're going to shine like stars in the universe. In Philippians 2 and verse 13, it says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." Now, this is not like the world and how we shine, is it? We don't shine like the stars in the universe by, you know, looking like the world, like having all the flashy bling, and boy, we really just shine like a star. Everybody knows we're a star, we're a movie star, we're whatever type of star. That's not what he's talking about. He's already talked about how we're going to do everything without complaining or arguing. But also look at verse 16, where it says, "As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I not run or labor for nothing." And so our life is to be different, and then as our life's different, we're to hold out the word of life. We're to tell people, this is why I'm different. You know, this is why I don't go along with your guys' cussing and your, you know, dirty stories and all this garbage, because I'm a Christian. And even though they claim to be a Christian, they're going to realize, they're going to start feeling convicted that, hey, why am I still acting this way? You know, I've had people, I've been working at a paint store, I've had people come in there and they'll be talking all about their church. And this one guy in particular, he even says he sits right in the front row of the church. And it's a huge church. He even talks about how big it is. And he even was talking one time about how he was crying. I mean, this preacher got him so emotional, he's crying. But then, not too long later, he was right back to cussing and talking horrible. He'll try to apologize to me, because words got around that I'm a Christian and I'm a preacher in particular, and so they do make comments about it, but they don't want to have to change. That's the whole thing. They don't want to change. He doesn't mind going to a big, huge thing, but as long as he can walk out of there and stay the same, he doesn't mind that. And the message that we hold out is a message that will change people, won't it? If they keep coming, they keep listening, they're going to hear about repenting and what true repentance is all about. And they're going to hear convicting messages about that language, and that they need to change that. They need to stop talking that way. Not just getting emotional for a little bit and then not doing anything. True Christianity is taught as we bring them the true message of salvation, as we hold out the word of life. But the world has never liked being convicted. Look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And just notice this example here of how the world didn't like being convicted in this day and age with Lot. Genesis 19 verse 6, it says, "Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, 'No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them, but don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof.' 'Get out of our way,' they replied. And they said, 'This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them.' They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door." Lot had enough courage to say, "You know, you're not going to do anything to these men under my roof." He did try to stand up, but they were so upset with him, they said, "You came here as an alien, now you want to play the judge. Who do you think you are to tell us to live differently?" You know, and that's how people are today. They don't want us telling them to live differently. You know, you think about the homosexual agenda out there. They are loudmouths for their agenda. They don't want anybody speaking out against it. So much to the point that there are denominations all throughout the United States that have gone along with homosexuality. I mean, they would they would have been like Lot. They would have started a church right there in Sodom and Gomorrah and started a big old church, and everybody would have been coming there, and they would even put a homo up there in the pulpit, and boy, everybody would have loved it. But they would have been religious. Nobody would have been upset then. And today, as you and I, we keep on preaching against sin, ungodliness, and worldliness, and how to live right, people aren't going to like it. They're going to think, who are you guys to tell us how to live differently? We'll go down the street, and we'll join our little club, and put a religious sign on it, and say it's a church. Because that's all it is. You know how the world evangelizes the religious world? And there is opposition also from the religious world. But this week at the parade, we went to the parade, and I got a flyer from the Baptist Club in Cheyenne. And that they've gone to the point, they've got this monster truck. And on Sunday, you can come and see their monster truck, and it's even called the Holy Roller. Oh, no, boy, you can come, and everything's free. You can have pop, candy, food, and it's just a big game. But on the back of their little flyer, it said 5 steps how to go to heaven. Not one of them talked about repentance. Not one of them talked about baptism. Just do what they want you to do. And, of course, come and see their monster truck, too. And have a good time. You know what? That's the way to bring them in, isn't it? Does that take courage to go see a monster truck? Does it take courage to write Holy Roller on your thing and have this big old huge monster truck driving over vehicles? That doesn't take much courage to do that, does it? But I tell you what, stand up and speak the message of salvation to people takes more courage. Amen. And not to compromise with the religious world around us and think, we've got to be like them. How can we outdo them? Okay, we'll offer bungee jumping at our church. Oh, I don't get them in. So we have to outdo them. We can outdo them by telling them the true message of salvation. Paul didn't have to come up with anything different, did he, whenever he went in the religious world of his day to those people in Athens and he saw that they were very religious? He didn't think, oh boy, I better build a big idol, that way they'll come and see my idol, and then I'll tell them the truth about salvation. No, he spoke the message of repentance to them, didn't he? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, when he said, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. People don't want to hear about repentance, and they don't want to hear about the day of judgment either. But in the Lord's church, they're going to keep hearing it, because we still have courageous leaders and courageous men and women that are willing to speak and back the message of salvation. But you and I, we need to stay courageous and keep building our courage to keep speaking to people, because I can tell you one thing, the opposition's out there to be quiet, settle down, simmer down on talking to people about Christ. You know, people must think that, well, there's so many different clubs out there, so many different religious groups, why do we need to speak to them? They'll hear it somewhere else. That's what they're going to hear. They're going to hear the message of falsehood that only gets them feeling good but headed for hell still. We've got the message, the power of the gospel, the message of salvation that can save people. We need to believe that message. We need to believe it in our heart that that's what we have when we're going to them, when we're knocking on the door and inviting them to church or trying to get them to set up a Bible study. We are trying to get them to study God's word. So why? So they can become a Christian. Not so we can build a huge building. We're not interested in a big building. We are interested in souls being saved. We need to get more interested in that and let the religious world go their way, but you and I stay firm on God's word. And that we're going to speak to people. We're going to talk to them wherever we are. And the religious world will oppose us. One time when we were out talking to people, they said, well, you're just out sheep stealing. That's what they said to the other guy I was with. And I thought, boy, I wish we could have told them, no, we're not sheep stealing. We're trying to make sheep. We're trying to get people to become sheep and to quit being lost sheep. So I tell you what, when Christians start seeking the lost, there's going to be opposition from the world, from the religious world. And there can be fierce opposition. Let's go ahead and go to Acts 17 and notice the reception Paul had. And just remind ourselves that even in this situation, when Paul had a great message and spoke to a lot of people, notice what it says in verse 34. We won't take time to read the whole thing. Actually, verse 32 as well, it says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. So it just mentions a few became followers. So there was that opposition there that Paul had with these people. They were sneering at his message. I don't know if any preachers have ever had that happen when they're preaching on something. Somebody's sitting back, and you can tell they are not happy with what you're saying. They're just sitting there, you know, they're just like, you know, crunching up their face. Maybe they're trying to find another scripture to oppose what you're saying. But they are not receiving the message with an open heart. They are upset. They are angry. And we can get that opposition to decide, okay, boy, I better avoid that subject. I don't want those people upset. But we've got to speak the message in love, but with truth and in power and conviction to help them. And then, unfortunately, there is opposition from enemies within. There are enemies within the church. If you don't believe that, you're fooling yourself. There are enemies within the church. And these people are the ones that are going to kick up their heels and dig them in strong whenever you try to get them going for evangelism. Whenever you try to get them going in anything, but especially evangelism, they are going to really get upset and really tell you how you don't need to do that. Notice Acts 20 and verse 30. And I tell you what, we need to discard the theory that we have no job to do today in regards to winning the lost souls of men. That is a false theory. That's like evolutionist coming up with some type of theory they've come up with. That is not based on scripture. That's not based on the truth. That's based on people trying to evolve as Christians and evolve like the world wants them to be. Not conforming to the likeness of Christ and what he came to be whenever he came to seek and save the lost. That's why Jesus came down here and died and lived. And you and I, we need to remember that message that Jesus brought so we take it to others. Acts 20 and verse 30, it says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. It's going to be men arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. People are going to distort the truth about how we need to be active in going out and talking to people about Christ. There's going to be opposition. Oh, no, you don't need to. Yeah, if somebody asks you how to become a Christian, sure, you better have it prepared. If somebody asks you, how do I become a Christian? Not according to the Baptist, not according to the Methodist. You know, how do I become a true born-again Christian? Then you better be ready. But don't go and start up a conversation about it with people. No, brother, don't do that. That's these people that are in the pews that aren't converted aren't willing to do anything for the Lord. They're comfortable with where they're at. And people are backslidden in the pew, and those who have left the Lord's church, who still attend a religious club, who are in opposition to you seeking others or them that are lost, they're going to really be upset. And especially if you try to help them come back to the Lord. Because that's part of seeking the lost, is also seeking those that are once saved. And people today want what Isaiah talked about in Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 10 and 11, where they were saying, tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Give us no more visions of what is right. They wanted illusions. They just wanted to feel good. Tell us pleasant things. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. And we're confronted with God's word. You think about it. When it comes to us going out and reaching the lost, we should be convicted about that. Not comfortable. Because every one of us knows there are more people out there that we need to talk to about Christ. We know that, if we are honest. We know that. And so we should always feel convicted and then strive to do more when it comes. Not think, well, I don't like that. I want to feel comfortable with what I'm doing. I like not doing anything and then complaining about nothing happening. Because I figured that one out pretty good. And see, I can tell people the truth. Yeah, see, I won't tell them that I didn't do anything, but I'll tell them nothing happens around here. Nothing happens. Forgetting to mention, I haven't done anything. Anytime in life you do nothing, nothing is going to happen. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. You talk to nobody, nobody's going to get converted. Unless, just by chance, they open up their Bible on their own. Somebody had to give them the Bible. Somebody had to translate the Bible so they could hear it. But how many people are opening up their Bible on their own today and getting converted? Not a lot. We've got to go to them and help them to get their Bibles open, convince them, persuade them. And that's our job. We know we've been converted. If you have been, if you haven't been, get converted first. Then you'll have a message to tell people. But get out of your comfortable, easy chair and get going for the Lord. And so when it comes to that, either you're dead spiritually where you don't feel any conviction about going to people or you don't really care. Or you're being dishonest with what God wants us to be doing. One of those three. Are you being dishonest? Are you just comfortable with not wanting to talk to people? When it comes to people that you go to and you say, hey, let's go out and talk to some people. Let's go out and let's maybe go knock on some doors. And they say, no, we don't need to do that. And it doesn't ever work. I did it a time or two. It doesn't work. You know, the first time I went out and I had all this opposition, I decided to give that up a long time ago. Plus, if I was out there, I wouldn't have listened either. Well, who cares about what you would have done? What about the people out there that maybe will listen? So we've got to say, I've got to go do it, even if you won't. If you're going to sit there and say, oh, the church doesn't grow, the church doesn't grow. We've got to come up with our monster truck theory, and we've got to start working on that. We gotta put some people through school and get them into marketing and figuring out how to advance the church. We just don't have enough people in marketing. That's our problem. That's the schooling they need. They don't need marketing skills. We need people that are converted, that study God's word, and take that message and share it with other people. That's what we need. We need workers today. Workers in the kingdom, no matter where we're at. If we had more workers, more work would get done. So we need more workers. Jesus said it right. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And you can debate, you know, you can tell me that the harvest isn't plentiful right now. Well, that means there's more work that needs to be done. So we have more seed planted in the hearts of men. We need more people to get going and talking to people. Regardless of whether they'll listen or not. And so you have to have the courage to keep doing what God wants you to do, regardless. Just keep listening to Jesus, who told us to go and make disciples of all nations. Quit listening to the naysaying, complaining, do-nothing Christian. Listen to Jesus, who did everything for us and accomplished what he came to do, even though he was in opposition and even though he got crucified for what he stood for and what he was doing. He went all the way to the cross for us. And let's go ahead and look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That way, we do remind ourselves of the final authority on seeking and leading the lost to conversion. Jesus is the authority on it. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Remember what Joshua heard? Be strong and courageous to do all that I have commanded you. We need to be strong and courageous to do all that Jesus has commanded us. And he has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And this starts with people right around us. the neighbors we have, the friends we have, the co-workers we have. We need to go and talk to them and make disciples of them. They may say, well, I've already talked to all those people. Okay, what about the community you're living in? Have you gone and talked to every person in your town? You have knocked on every door and talked to every person. Now, if you live in Oshkosh, you might have. Okay, but even there, we need people evangelizing, even in Oshkosh. Whatever community you're in, you need to be evangelizing. But if you've talked to as many people as you can, you think, well, there's nobody else to talk to, then you need to go to another town and talk to them. Yeah. In bigger cities, though, you have people moving in and moving out, and you can watch the for sale signs and make plans. Okay, I'm going to go, and as soon as that person moves in, I'm going to go talk to them. And you can make some battle plans that you're going to talk to people, but you start getting an evangelistic mindset, and you're going to find that you'll start talking to people wherever you're at. If you'll start going and making disciples. But if you never do it, you'll never start. You'll never do anything. And then you'll become that person that sits back and says, I wonder why the church isn't growing. I wonder why nobody's getting converted. At least if you go out and do it, you'll know why it's so hard. You'll know that it is hard. It is difficult. That the preachers aren't lying to you when they tell you it's hard and difficult. Why? Because I know because I've gone out and done it. Now that I've done everything I need to do, I need to keep going. I need to get more courageous and more bold for the Lord and go further for the lost souls of men. Because there's still more people out there that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And so we need the courage to seek, save the lost, and lead them to true conversion. Not be satisfied with their false ways of religion that they've been told. That takes courage to teach people the truth of true way to be a Christian as well. And I didn't have time really to go into that. But I tell you what, you're going to have opposition from that as well, from people that act really like they really love the Bible. And then as you point out to them that they need to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, you can find out how much they really love the Lord at that point. And sometimes it's not too nice. But you and I, we need courage to keep going or get going if we haven't ever started. But go and talk to people about Christ. I hope you'll do that. And I'll turn it over to the